Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20. And I want us to have a word of prayer, and then I'll get into the message, the thoughts that set the stage for the message. Father, Lord, we sure are thankful for this church and for Brother Mast and his family. God, the testimony that they've been through the years since we first met them. Thank you, Lord, for everybody in this church. God, this has been a lighthouse in this community for so long now. And this has been a place where those of us who have come here from a distance and have come and received the blessings of God. And Lord, we're just grateful today that we could have a little part in it. And Lord, I know that the message has already been preached this morning that was needed. But I believe it's all needed, Father. And so, Lord, I pray you'd touch me one more time. And I pray, God, you give us the message today that you want us to hear in this hour. And, Lord, that we might continue to do your will, that we might continue to walk in your way, that we might continue to keep a short account with you, Lord. Keep our sins confessed, Lord, and be faithful to you and to do your work. Now, Father, I pray your blessing upon the Word of God one more time, dear God, and that you would speak to every heart here today. Help us, Lord, as we go through this time in history and this era of time that we're living in today. I pray, God, your blessings would be here with us today. In Christ Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, let me get this thing on. We are in a battle. We're in spiritual warfare. I hear that phrase used a lot. I'm not into catchy phrases or anything like that, but we are. The Lord tells us in His Word that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. And so we know that that's true, amen? We know it's true not only in the political realm, but it's true in the spiritual realm especially, amen? And that's where all the problem comes from anyway, is because of the spiritual warfare that we're in. It started before this earth was ever created. It started in heaven, as you referred to this morning, brother, when Satan said, I will ascend my throne above the throne of God. And so there was a spiritual warfare that begun right then. You say, well, didn't God know that that was going to happen? Well, sure, God knows everything, amen. He knew that would happen, but he went ahead and made man anyway. And I believe that God loved Lucifer as he was an angel in the beginning, amen, because God put him in charge of the music of heaven, amen. And so when you stop and you think, God loved him, amen, just like he loved you and me before that we were saved, amen. God loves everybody, amen. He doesn't love our ways, but he loves us. And I'm glad that God is a just God, amen. And so when Satan or Lucifer rose up against him, he cast him out of heaven, amen. That's the only thing he could do, because righteousness and ungodliness cannot walk hand in hand. And so when you look at the scriptures here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I can relate to Jehoshaphat so much. It seems like that in the last, especially the last 9 years, it's been one battle right after another. I was to be here last year, and I was planning to come right up to the last minute. And then I found out we'd had to do some church discipline and take care of that, and that's always a mess you don't want to have to get involved with, but the Bible tells you what you do when people are so in discord amongst the brethren. You have to handle it, and so we handled it. And then I found out that they were going to try to come back into the church while I was here at this meeting. And so when I found that out, I canceled my trip here, and that's the reason we didn't get to come last year. But it's a battle, folk. It's a battle. The devil is always putting the wolves into the congregations across the world. Amen? And it don't matter how big the church is or how small the church is. And I'm not calling anybody here a wolf now. That's something that only God and you can determine. And I think most wolves don't even know they're a wolf. Amen. But they just fit the qualifications the way that God gives them. But let me say this. Be careful, Christian. Be careful. You may become a wolf if you're not careful. I'm not saying you'll lose your salvation. But I am saying that, people do go and do some pretty weird things sometimes, even when they're saved. I've known some preachers that did that, amen? And you could say it, name some of them too, you know? We've got them all around us, and we've got, it happens, folks. We're in a world that is a world of a fallen nature. Amen. It's the world of, this whole world, this whole thing is a result of Adam is falling in the garden. Amen. And so, of course, it was a choice. It wasn't just a fall. I wonder sometimes we say, well, somebody fell. I think they chose. Amen. And what happens is that we make the wrong choice and we go down the road of regret. And you can go down the road of regret the rest of your life. And the folks that gave me the most problem were preachers. These were a father and son who were preachers, and they were trying to take the church away from us. Well, anyway, God took care of that. Amen. But I'm just here to say, I said that for this reason, is that every person in this room today is in a spiritual battle. Now, if you haven't realized that yet, you're walking on thin ice. Amen. You're in a battle with three enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. My biggest enemy of the morning is not the devil. It's this flesh, amen? Every morning I got a deal. I got to have a funeral service every morning. Got to put this old flesh up on the cross and crucify it and go on. And so it gets harder to do, by the way, folks. It doesn't get any easier the older you get. It gets harder. And I hate to tell you that, but I'm sharing this with you for a reason. We'll get to the point. The battle is not yours or mine, amen? And so we're going to look at that in a little bit. But I want you to look with me, if you're able to stand in respect to the reading of God's Word. We'll begin in chapter number 20 and verse number 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Judah. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? I think about that prayer up to this point. I just want to stop and say this. I think that every one of us would do well to memorize that prayer. Amen. To remember that prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed. Because you'll notice that in his prayer, in his preparation for prayer, I should say. You know, sometimes we have to just go straight to the Lord with things. But there's a time when we need to prepare to pray. Amen. And this is, if I put a title on this message today, I'd say, preparing to pray. Amen. Preparing to pray. Now, we need to get down to the business of praying, but you need to get some things out of the way so that God can hear and answer your prayer. And so this is what he's doing. Now, he's declaring the glory of God before he addresses God with the need. Amen? And so we see that here in these verses. Now, moving on. And he said, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, amen, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. You know, the house of God's always a good place to go to pray, amen. And God refers to it as the house of prayer, amen. And so God intended for his churches to be a place of prayer, amen. And so, and now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. I like the next phrase. But our eyes are upon thee. Amen. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. And then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Amen. All is futile unless the Holy Spirit's there, folk. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto thee, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they came up to the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight this battle. Twice he said it now. You shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves to stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth unto the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord our God, so shall ye be established. Amen. Wow, we could preach on that for a long time right there. Amen. Being established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Father, Lord, we thank you for this word. And I pray, dear God, that you'd give us that which you'd have us to hear this morning. Lord, if it doesn't help me, it won't help anybody. So I pray, dear God, first and foremost, that you'd help me. And I pray, God, you'd speak to every one of us. And if there would be one here, Lord, that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, help them to realize, Father, they're already losing the battle. The devil has made them captive already. And one day we'll take them to the prison house called hell, where they'll spend all eternity in a lake of fire, except they repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless the prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, as we look at this morning, I want to reemphasize the need to make preparation for prayer. Amen. Preparation for prayer. First of all, he got honest. Amen. He got honest. Now the Bible tells us over and over we'll never have revival until my people, which are called by my name, will what? Humble themselves. That's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. Jehoshaphat was the king. He could say, well, we've got the army. We can handle this thing all by ourselves. Amen. You know, I hear that phrase all the time. I can do it myself, you know. Well, I want to tell you this morning, there's some things you can't do yourself. Amen. And one of those things is that you can't win a battle that's already got you bound up and in a prisoner of the devil. Amen. And he is the enemy that's leading the struggle against us. And so as we make preparation for prayer, we must do what Jehoshaphat did in verses 3 and 4, where he made himself ready by humbling himself. The Bible said Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. You know, there's times, honestly, there's times in my life now that I have to stop and say, Lord, where are you? Yeah, where are you, Lord? But then I find out he's right where I left him, amen. And I just need to come back where he was and get right back with him, because that's where he's at. But the only way you're going to do that is when you do what Jehoshaphat did. Yeah. Fear. Amen. Right. Fear that you have, insulted the Lord. That's what we do often when we sin. Amen. That's what we do when we go over on the devil's side. We've insulted our Lord. We've slapped him in the face. We've smitten him on the cheek. We've put a crown of thorns on his head. We've driven the nails in his hands and his feet, and the spear in his side. All of that. We've done all of that by our actions. Amen. We weren't there when it happened, but we might as well have been, because we're just as bad and maybe worse than the ones who put him on the cross. God help us that we'd begin to fear and set ourselves to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast to all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. You know, whenever the leaders do the right thing, the followers will do the right thing too. Amen. Dr. Robertson used to say everything rises or falls on leadership. And that's so true. But when the leaders lead, the followers will follow. Amen. And that's what the people of Judah did. They gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. They followed the example of their leader. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou the God in heaven, and rulest thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? They, listen, he is God, very God. Amen. Amen. He always was and he always will be. Amen. And so he got honest with God, first of all, and he humbled himself. And then in verse number 12, it tells us, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He began to get intense in his praying. Amen. You know, we pray. I'm afraid we pray too many little "now lay me down to sleep" kind of praying. Yeah, and we pray these little prayers, but listen, in our heart, in our hearts, where the intensity of prayer has to be. It's not from our lips, but it's from our heart. Amen. From our heart. And so he got intense. Prayer itself in verses 6 through 10. Shows certainty, amen. In verse 6, the faith that was exercised in this prayer, art not thou our God? And didst not thou drive out the inhabitants of the land? And if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house. Where is our faith, amen? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And yet Jesus said, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? when he cometh. Amen. So where's faith? I'll tell you where faith is. It's been hidden like the Word of God's been hidden. You put this Bible away, you put this book away, and there'll be no faith. This is faith. This is faith, folks. What else can you believe? Man has written all kinds of books, and they've failed. Amen. You think about back in when I was a young married man, and my son was born, and Dr. Spock's book was out, you know. Well, Dr. Spock's book went out the window a long time ago, but this book still stands. Amen. Amen. This book still stands. And so, if you want faith, there is no faith in man. You cannot put your faith in man. You cannot put your trust in man. You have to put your faith and your trust in God, and God will control the man.
Amen.
Amen. And some people say, "Preacher, why don't you write a book?" I don't know how many people have said that to me. "Why don't you write a book?" And I've always said this: how can I, an imperfect man, write a book about a perfect God? I can't do it. Now, I'm not against people who write books. I'm glad for them. Amen. I use them. I read them. I study them. But I'm here to tell you, folk, that this book has no error in it.
Amen.
This old King James Bible is the truth from cover to cover.
Amen. Amen.
And even the cover where it says Holy Bible. Amen. And so the promise here, we see the promise... The provisions, rather, we know the promises, but the provisions are because of the prayer. Look at verse 23 and 24. He said in verse 23, "For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped." Now, we already saw where the Lord said, "Just be still, I'm going to fight the battle." Amen. Amen. But they obeyed the Lord, and they picked up the sword. Amen. And God did the work.
Amen.
God did the work. You think about Samson and all the thousands that Samson slew. How'd he do it? There ain't no way possible except God.
Amen.
Amen. Except God. And it's true with the children of Israel when they left Egypt. And they stood at the bank of the Red Sea and didn't know what they were going to do. They're arguing and fussing with Moses, and God said, "Be still." Amen. Be still. And so we need to just be still and let God do the work. Let God do the work. Have faith to believe. Amen. And so we see the provisions after that these people are all slain. You notice it took days for them to carry the spoil away. God always provides, amen?
Right.
And he provided in this matter as well. Well, then he set himself to seek the Lord. He prepared himself. They came to the house of God. They realized this is the place, the preeminence of the place where God said, "This is where you come to pray." And they were in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I just don't understand. I don't know how many churches we passed this morning, and there was no activity. It looked like around any of them, except I saw a Baptist church bus, and then of course you all here. But there's so many churches this morning that have closed doors. So many churches that just have one service a week now.
Right.
You know, no, it's just too much trouble to come back on Sunday night, and too much trouble. And you know the amazing thing about it, we love mothers, amen. I lost my mother in these last 3 years as well. And she, of course, in this world was the best friend I had from the beginning. And you think about mothers, but Mother's Day has gotten to be the Lord's day is no longer more important than mama.
That's right.
Huh? You say, well, preacher, now God wants us to love mama. Sure, he wants us to love mama, but he's a jealous God. Remember that.
Amen.
He can take mama away. Amen. He can take, when the kids are the excuse, he can take the kids away. Amen. And so we better be careful when we start using mama and father. Amen. Father's Day and what was that ball game day? Yeah, better be careful. Amen. I know you all don't do that here. I'm just teasing because of something he said last night. But keep your focus. What is Sunday? The Lord's Day. Amen. The Lord's Day. What day is Sunday?
The Lord's Day.
The Lord's Day. Amen. Is it Mama's Day? Is it Daddy's Day? No. Is it, if it falls on Christmas, is it Santa Claus? No. It's the Lord's Day. Amen. The first day of the week is the Lord's Day. And it was God's people on the first day of the week. Well, he said that's the time to lay in store the blessings of God, amen? And that's when we bring our tithes into the storehouse, amen? And so the church has always met on the first day of the week, amen? That's the Lord's Day. That's when he arose, amen? And so he put great importance on that day. We honor presidents and we honor heroes, and we ought to honor servicemen and people who have fought for our country and give us the freedom that we have. But there's no one who has fought the battle that Jesus Christ fought upon the cross of Calvary. Amen. And so they were in the presence of the Lord. And so he prayed this prayer. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Don't get your eyes off of the Lord. I've never seen a time when there are so many distractions. The highways are blood alleys anymore because of the interference from these things and other things. It's got our attention. The world has our attention. Amen? This thing will make a slave out of you.
Yeah.
And so the things that draw our attention, the things that we see, the things that we want. Amen? You know, we go out and we buy all the things that we want, and then we gotta work four jobs in order to pay for it.
That's right.
And, well, I can't come to church on Sunday, preacher, because I got this house to pay for. I got these cars to pay for. And that boat back there, and that RV back there, and all of these other things that we have, we gotta pay for them. Who ordered them? Was it God's will? Go back to that song that he sang there a few minutes ago. Was it God's will? It's not God's will to do something that's going to keep you out of church and keep you away from the Lord. Amen? It's not God's will to there's nothing wrong with having things if you can afford it, but if you got to cheat on God, huh? Amen. Spiritual adultery, fornication, huh? Covetousness. That's all part of the battle, folks. We need to just get rid of some things. And have you ever seen a day when there are so many storage buildings around the world? Everybody's storing things. What are they storing? Stuff. Now, I passed by that Goodwill store this morning. Now, you know about where I was at when I started getting close to the church. But anyhow, I'd gone the wrong direction. But that's the way a lot of people are doing, going the wrong direction. You know, I saw that stuff store over there. Huh? It's wore out, so they give it to them to sell to somebody else. So they got more stuff.
and we got more stuff and more stuff, and we're building more storage units to store stuff. And as Roloff said, I've never seen a hearse behind pulling a U-Haul yet. Amen. Listen, when my wife died, bless her heart, Peggy married into this mess. I've got more stuff than I ever realized. And we're trying to get rid of it. Just stuff. 56 years of stuff. Huh? And you think, well, I just don't really want to get rid of that. I remember that. I remember this. I remember something else. I really don't want to get rid of it. You're putting God off. Almost, brother. Almost. I just can't let this go. And that's the way sin is in our lives. I appreciated the message. I really did. Because I sat there and I thought, how many times in my life was I almost saved? 24 years old, grew up in churches all my life. And I remember the first time I was so under conviction that I knew I was going to go to hell. And I was 8 years old, almost, but not quite. Because I was afraid. My dad was a very hard man. Later on in life, he softened and he got right with God. But when I was 8 years old, I could have been saved, except I was afraid of what my dad would say. There's a lot of people that way, afraid of what people at work's going to say, afraid of what other people in the family's going to say, you know, if you follow this book.
Right.
And then when I was 12 years old, brother, and I'm not trying to re-preach your message now, but when I was 12 years old, my grandmother got down by my bedside, and she made a puddle of tears on the old feather bed, praying that the Lord would save me. And I was afraid that I couldn't keep it. I thought, I can't live up to that. That's what the devil wants you to think.
Right.
It's not a matter of what you can live up to. It's a matter of what God's already done. Amen.
Right.
And then I remember when I was 18 years old, I made a profession of faith. And I prayed a prayer. And I was dependent on that prayer. I went through the baptistry. Went in one side a dry center and came out on the other side a wet center. And that's the only thing that changed in my life. I went on with life and lived for the devil instead of living for God. When I was 24 years old, God got my attention. And he saved me. In spite of me. Amen. He saved me in spite of me. Almost, but finally, altogether. Almost. I like that. You know, that's a good comparison. Almost, and Paul said, all together. You know, I'm glad I'm all together now. I wasn't all together then, but I'm all together now because I'm in Christ. Amen. And I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. And I'm looking for that day when I'll be perfect, but it's not going to happen down here. Amen. But I'm going to keep on confessing my sins, because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Right.
Folk, we need to realize we're in a battle. I'll probably say more about it later, but we're living in the latter part of the Laodicean age. The latter part. It's not about to begin. It's already happening, and we're way into it. Jesus is coming any moment. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you today for the testimony of Jehoshaphat. Thank you, Lord, for all of the blessings of your word. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to proclaim it. And now I pray, dear God, that every person would consider the word of God in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.